Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Bob Varsha, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. We just watched Max Verstappen win a fantastic race, action-packed, leaders changing, different people leading the race. But Max Verstappen finds a way to pull it out with all the safety cars, all the rain, the sun, the tires. Really amazing job by Max Verstappen. This is John Massengill in the studio in Austin, Texas, and I'm joined by Bob Varsha. Bob, I have about four pages of notes. I don't know about you.
We've only done about 500 shows, so you'd think I'd know when to unmute myself. Yeah, I mean, before the race, we said, you know, if the rain comes and goes, it's going to really throw up some surprises. And it gave us a really varied and interesting race with, I think, five different leaders. I lost track. Lots of passing, a lot of very tough decisions, snap decisions made. At the beginning, when the two Haas cars were the only ones to go out on the full wet tires, Chris Medlin said, I don't know if that's going to work. I said, I thought it would. And I think we were both kind of right because those guys came rocketing up the running order. And then the rain stopped, track began to dry out, and they fell back down again. But they did finish 11th and 12th. So, you know, America's team was solidly in the midfield on a day that saw both Ferraris drop out, both Williams drop out. Sergio Perez dropped out in one of the Red Bulls. So it was a pretty attrition-heavy race when it came to the stars of the show. Big setback for Ferrari today because McLaren had a good day. Mercedes had a good day. And Max Verstappen wins again.
Yeah, it's funny. You're talking about the Haas and Magnussen coming up. He made it all the way up to P4. And then I think what happened is he dove into the pits without getting instructions to do that.
Yeah.
And they were not ready. And it ended up to be like a 9-second pit stop. And I think that probably lost him, you know, at least two or three positions. So, yeah.
Yeah, plenty of blame to go around there. He should have told them, I'm coming. I need intermediates. You know, they should have known. I mean, this, all this information is in front of them. They should have seen, at least when he hit the pit lane, that they needed the intermediates out there. So, yeah, that was a gaffe that they wound up paying for. But still, you know, they had pace. They ran right at the edge of the point.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, they'll come forward again. They did not lose ground to the team in front of them, Williams, in the championship. And not much ground to Alpine, with whom they came in tied in the constructor standing. So, some lessons are harder than others. I mean, you could make a mistake like that on a pit stop, which teams have done before. You know, Daniel Ricciardo lost a victory at Monaco once because the Red Bull team were not ready for him. So, you know, this kind of thing can happen.
Yeah, and I have to say the most disappointing race has to go to Ferrari. I mean, both cars retired, and, you know, I said it in the beginning of the show, I mean, at the beginning of the pre-show, that they had an opportunity with Checo qualifying so far down, and they're so close to Red Bull, and now Max wins again, both cars DNF for Ferrari, the gap just widens again. It's just really disappointing for them.
Yeah. Let me correct myself. I finally got my final results up on my screen, and Alpine scored ninth with Gasly, 10th with Ocon. Good drives from both of those guys, who started way back. So they pick up 3 points. That breaks the tie and drops Haas into ninth place, I guess, in the championship.
Ooh, yeah, that is interesting. And yeah, I didn't realize that. Daniel Ricciardo, he had this penalty at the very start. Did you see the replay? It was so close. They gave him a jump start penalty, but it was so close.
Well, you know, they didn't give a jump start. They gave him a false start.
Yeah, sorry, false
start. I don't know if that's a distinction in the rules, because it looked to me like it did to you, I think, that he didn't jump the start, but he may have been improperly lined up in his grid box or something. But, you know, whatever
maybe
it
so.
Was.
Yeah, we'll get clarification here, hopefully.
Yeah, maybe Chris will know more about that when we finally get him up and running. Interesting day all around. I think McLaren will go away thinking, you know, they could have had more, running 2-3 at one point, or 1-3 or whatever they had. A lot of, team infighting between teammates in the late going. Piastri and Norris, Russell and Hamilton. Yep. There was some real toe-to-toe slugging going on in the closing laps of that race, which is interesting.
Yeah, and let's not forget, first podium of the year for Mercedes.
Which is
really encouraging, right? I mean, we saw the speed. We thought Russell might win this race, went from pole, but got to be happy with getting a podium now.
Yeah, you know, we had James Allison, the technical boss at Mercedes, on our post-qualifying show yesterday, and he said, you know, it's not a silver bullet. It's not big steps, but we've been making progressive smaller steps and getting better and better, and we never doubted that, you know, we'd have a breakthrough at some point, and it looks like this is the weekend where whatever it is they're doing with the car came right.
Yeah, and you talk about Lando Norris and McLaren. I was listening to Lando afterwards, and he said it. He said he had a little advantage at Miami with his safety car, and he had a little disadvantage today. So he seemed happy with what happened, and you know, that's the way racing goes. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't, and you get those little advantages sometimes, and sometimes not.
Oh man, with the conditions out there today, and every driver had to have that laser focus even more than in a completely dry race anywhere. I think the universal feeling among the drivers was, whew, I'm glad I got through that.
Yeah,
without without throwing it in the trees. That was a day when if you came away with points, you're plenty happy.
I tell you what, disappointing for Logan Sargeant. It's funny. He had another race performance where he didn't do well, where he had another good weekend up to the race and then another disappointing race.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about before going in about we really didn't know what some of the younger guys like Piastri and Logan Sargeant would do in a wet race. We hadn't had one at all this year, and I can't remember where the last one was last year. But, you know, these guys, they don't test in wet conditions. They don't, you know, they have no real, you know, data bank of knowledge about what the car is going to feel like when the grip conditions are that crummy, whether you're on the full wet or the intermediate tire, or what it's like when you go to the crossover point in lap time and you put on a slick tire in damp conditions. So, you got to feel for those guys. Now we know more. I think Logan Sargeant was a bit caught out. And even some of the veteran guys, you know, were slithering all over the place. Carlos Sainz threw it off the road at one point. It was an all skate, I think they say in hockey land.
Yeah. But how many times did we see somebody, you know, cut through a corner, go up on a curb, lose traction, go? It was just constant over and over. And I mean, it was actually really fun to watch. You were on the edge of your seat the entire time. And I see Chris Medlin has joined us. How are you, Mr. Medlin?
I'm all right. I've come back out to brave the potential weather, because it looks like it might rain again in a sec. It's just been spitting. That's all I've been talking about today, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what, those were some pretty spectacular cloud formations. I'm a bit of a weather junkie. And anybody who listened to me and Hobbs and Matcha during the ESPN and then the speed years, we were always, look at the sky, look at those clouds, what's going to happen? And, sometimes it does, but that was pretty spectacular cloud formations today over Montreal.
It got pretty kind of, if you looked down towards turn one from the start finish line, that's where you would have seen it on the pictures, I think, as well, how dark it got. It mm-hmm. skirted the track. It actually does mean, I will give a little bit of credit to Ferrari, because the decision they were trying to make with Leclerc when they put him on those slicks just before rain hit, up to that point, it looked like it was going to be a heavy, heavy downpour and it made no sense. But then just the clouds just looked like they were going to miss at the edge. And it was like, okay, it might be a lap or two and then you might not get too much rain. So they gambled on that. It didn't mm-hmm. pay off. It did rain enough that you needed to get onto the inters, but it was closer than maybe it had looked from a few minutes before. So I do actually understand why they took that risk.
Man, there were so many amazing moments, though. I'm just looking through my notes. I was like, when at one point, Albon sliced through Daniel Ricciardo and Ocon. I don't know, part of that just looked like he didn't have any other place to go, but it was a brilliant pass between the three of them. I mean, there were so many moments like that in this race.
Mm-hmm. And Martin Brundle, who I expected to give him a little stick about it, said, no, that's what he had to do. And he did it beautifully. I mean, he looked like a high-end restaurant valet there driving between the traffic and, you know, didn't hit anybody and made the double pass. And that was pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, very, very strong move, that one. I was very impressed. I'm actually watching him now in the TV pen. He's having a bit of a laugh chatting to Daniel Ricciardo. So he doesn't seem too upset that his race was over. But I'll see if I can grab him afterwards because I want to ask him about that move. It was... And that was a highlight, wasn't it? I mean, just right on the edge.
Yeah.
Slicing right through there. I did like the radio message on lap 65 from Ricciardo from Team Radio when it said, you are allowed to fight Yuki. Then Yuki took care of it himself, but I did like the fact that they let him race. Or we're going to let him race.
It was good to see. It's how it should be, isn't it, really? But, you know, because it's late in the race, normally they would call it off. But I think it was just too tight between all these cars. And you know, Mercedes did the same with Russell and Hamilton.
Yeah.
Fair play to them for that one. So I might even see if we can speak to someone from Mercedes in a little bit. In fact, let's try that, shall we? Let's go. I'm going to run to the other end of the paddock and see if Toto Wolff's around. We spoke to James Allison on yesterday's show, and that was very insightful. He said that, he said he'd take a win in any conditions, and they got close. They were in the fight, but I feel like the conditions being so variable just, I don't want to say it helped Verstappen, because there were spells that he really didn't have the quick, but it's just about, I think, when the driver's so confident they've had much success.
Yeah, we're losing you, Chris, here for
let
just
it
a
come
second
to them a little bit.
We lost you a little bit there, but I wrote down some notes about while you're making your way down there, but I wrote down some notes about Tsunoda. We said Tsunoda and they were free to fight, but of course then Tsunoda crashed out of the race and almost got hit by Magnussen. That was really a high speed potential crazy crash there. But coming in today, he had points in three races in a row and five out of six. And it was a shame to see that. I really kind of thought it'd be nice for them, for he and Ricciardo to battle there for those final points.
Yeah, that takes you back to driving school when they tell you, if you're on a wet surface, hold the wheel straight. Don't try to turn. As you turn, you're going to spin the car. And that's exactly what he did. Sometimes the easiest things are the hardest to remember.
Yeah. What about the tire strategy for Mercedes there, Bob? At the end there with Hamilton going on the hard.
I think they were looking for something. I think they thought they had a lot of latent potential there in Hamilton, who was so quick the rest of the weekend that they thought, you know, let's try something. And it was just such a jump ball in terms of tire strategy all the while. You know, and some cars looked so rock solid in the conditions, while others looked pretty skittish the whole day. The function of car setup, no doubt. Credit Mercedes for trying something.
Yeah, for sure. Chris, how's your location? We'll check your mic too.
Well, I've made it down to Mercedes, but it's funny. It's like everyone has the same idea, isn't it? So Toto's just waiting to go on Sky Sports. He's stood in a lineup there, but Fred Vasseur's not too far away, and he's doing fewer interviews. So might see if I can grab a word with him in a second and kind of get the Ferrari debrief.
Yeah. If you want to see a dark clouds, look at Fred Vasseur right now. I'm sure he's got a, what do the British say? A face like thunder.
That's appropriate for today. You're dropping Chris pretty bad, actually.
It'd be so good to hear Chris.
When he wins.
I know. Let me start doing a starting lineup, and I'm sure Chris's mic will come in.
Exactly right. But yeah.
A bit of that might work if you can. That might be a bit to do with the weather.
Oh, Chris, we lost you, buddy. It's the last couple tries you've tried have not worked. So just looking through my notes again, Bob. On the lap 69, almost right through the end of the race, a bold pass from Russell on the inside of Hamilton for P3. That actually was really, you saw the car wiggle. He lost traction a little bit. And that was, you know, he could have easily ended up out of the race.
Yeah, that was on a damp curb.
Yeah,
so that was a ballsy move, particularly between teammates. But he had the position and kept it. And a thought just popped into my head, proving that animals are sometimes smarter than people. We didn't see one marmot out there in the rain watching the cars go by like we did in practice and qualifying.
It's true. It's very true. I was telling somebody about it, and they're like, what's the deal with that? And I said, well, they're just native to the area. And I said, it's all fun and games, and we all laugh until one of these times, you know, and every year of cars different, but one of these cars hits one of those animals at 200 miles an hour. I don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, it's happened plenty of times. I can remember a number of times we had contact with some of the native species on Île Notre Dame. It's a mess, no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, I kept thinking about the current downforce era cars, how that might, you know, it could be dangerous for the car too. But
yeah,
I was just looking at gains and losses. Verstappen up one, Norris up one, Russell down two, Hamilton up three, Piastri down one, Alonso started where he finished where he started at six, Stroll up two, Ricciardo down three, and you can probably account all of that into that 5-second penalty. Gasly up six and Ocon up eight. That is, there's a lot of attrition between them, probably between all that, but still, that's impressive.
Are the points official yet?
I don't know if they are yet. I haven't even checked yet. But
no, they're not. No, I see they're not. Okay, carry on.
I was just looking through some social media posts, and I see George Russell. And a tweet from the Mercedes team, and it says, finally made it into the podcast. In other words, into the cool down room and made it into the podium.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Into the green room. Get a chance to watch the highlights.
Yeah, you know what? That could be one of the most exciting things of this weekend, the fact that we have another team. As I'm saying it, I'm thinking how badly Ferrari fell off. But let's just say, assuming that Ferrari's still in this hunt, which I'm sure they are. Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren, all battling with Red Bull. And right there. I mean, it's not like in fact, you said it earlier in the year, Bob, and it really, I know this has been said about drivers from time to time, but you said Max Verstappen could be worth several tenths all by himself. So maybe that's the difference between those four teams right now.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say, considering Max's success. You know, he's just that little bit better in a car that suits him well. And that's how you become world champion, by being that little bit better week in and week out.
All right, guys. Sorry, Bob. I didn't mean to cut you off. Thought you were done. We need to get in a break here. I've run past, so stick with us through the break. You're listening to Speed City F1 back after these messages. One thing I want to bring up is, if you are a fan of the World Endurance Championship, you know, we got Le Mans coming up next weekend. COTA has a Father's Day deal. You can take advantage of a special Father's Day deal on the World Endurance Championship tickets at COTA. and get your give your dad a gift you won't forget and secure 2 3-day general admission tickets for the price of one. That offer expires June 23rd, so lock in your spot today with that limited-time offer. And Jonathan and I are probably going to be doing the PA out there, and we'll try to ship Bob down if he's not busy. But, yeah, it'll be fun. That'll be, you know, we had them come back to Coda a couple years ago, I think right before the pandemic, and it was awesome, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Let me look out.
Yeah, I called that race with Calvin Fish, and it's a folks, absolutely do it. I mean, these World Endurance cars are just spectacular, and the racing will be great. The track's great. Everybody loves it. Check it out.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we are basking in the exciting race that was the Formula One Canadian Grand Prix. And let's check back in with Chris. I hear his mic lighting up out in Montreal. Chris, let's give your mic a check.
Yeah, it's hopefully working. It doesn't have anyone to speak to right now, though, because I'm in that really awkward position where we might hear from Toto Wolff, we might hear from Fred Vasseur, or we might hear from neither, or both. So I'm telling you that all my cards are on the table. I don't know if I'm going to win this hand or not.
Well, your mic sounds good, so let's see what you get. But, well, Chris, you know, we had a little time before you jumped on, but tell us what you thought of the race. I mean, anything jump out besides the things we've touched on?
It was a great race. I know I sort of pointed out how I do feel that maybe Verstappen seems to have a calmness where he brings it, you know, lets the race come to him, probably based on his recent successes. But in reality, if you look at the championship picture, if you wanted to leave here with that being competitive, it went pretty awry, didn't it? Because it's one of the reasons I do want to speak to Fred Vasseur is Ferrari failing to score at all, and Verstappen's win means his championship lead's now up to 56 points, which is more than two race victories. Very comfortable. Yeah. Just it was closing up, and it looked like it would close up more this weekend. It goes the other way, big time. And that was a bit of a shame. But as Bob said, I think the fact that Mercedes were there or thereabouts all weekend, and certainly were even in the closing stages of that race, that is maybe something more exciting in terms of the likelihood of having fewer races where there's a one dominant team, that there's always a challenger. There's always someone to put the pressure on, whoever it may be. So I think we're going to have more exciting races between now and the end of the season. But maybe in terms of a championship, it's a bit too late for someone to really mount a real serious run at him, given the gap that's now there.
Yeah, I think you'd have to see some DNFs or something from Red Bull, which, you know, we just haven't seen much. It's like we've said a couple times before, Chris, it's like reliability is almost a non-issue in Formula One, it feels like right now. Not zero, but really low, especially among the top teams. So that's a pretty big lead. In fact, Verstappen's with 194 points and Leclerc with 138. And I gave out the phone number, and we have a caller. We have Bryn calling in, actually from Canada. I think he may be a truck driver. Bryn, welcome to the show. What'd you think of the race?
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, brilliant race. I thought Lando threw it away for not pitching early enough. I thought he could have won if he'd have pitted one lap sooner. But I guess that's payback for Miami when he got an advantage from the safety car. But I would have liked to have seen Lando win again.
I think I think he didn't have a shot at that, or else if he did, it was right there on the edge, Brent. I think it was too late by the time he realized it. But go ahead.
Yeah, if he did done it, I think the commentator said one lap, just one lap later or sooner.
Yeah,
He might have had a chance, but like I think he said himself in the interview that safety car helped him and now we went against him. So yeah, it was a brilliant race. There was always something going on. I felt sorry for was it Albon that got taken out by Sainz because he could have had points.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but yeah, like normal, the rain brought a great race. So, thanks for you putting it on again.
Yeah, well, Brent, well, thank you. I appreciate the thoughts and thanks for listening and I appreciate you calling in, Chris. I wanted to ask you. I was looking through the the constructor standings now, because I was at 194, 138 Verstappen over Leclerc, 131 down to Norris. So tight there. But in the constructor side, Red Bull 301, Ferrari still 252. I mean, in theory, it looks a little closer. But the one that caught my eye, Chris, is McLaren up to 212. That's exciting. And Mercedes now at 124. So nice points from McLaren today.
Yeah, big time for them. They've made a big gain getting both cars kind of in the, at the sharp end. Well, both teams have in that sense. The fact that Mercedes managed to do it with third and fourth. Very, very strong outcome in that sense. I'm just trying to see. I don't know if this is going to happen now. We're trying to get a bit of a word with Toto, but I think he's about to disappear to a TV interview. I'm not sure if now is going to work timing at all, but it's actual chaos down here, I'll admit. I believe, well, it's photo time, and I'm going to wind on air, work out. I think he's actually going on to Sky Germany, so I'm very much in the way right now. Do apologize.
All right, well, no worries, Chris.
Oh, yeah, if you're free now, I believe I'm second in queue. Everyone hearing live on air that I'm even letting Toto turn around to me and went, is it you or is it these lot? But I know how not to get myself smashed in the head by an umbrella. So I'm going to park myself right between him and his next port of call and hopefully grab at least a word with Toto after that. All right, sorry that you overheard that carnage on the air.
That's all right, Chris. Let's take a call here. We've got Tomas from Long Island. Hey, Tomas, what did you think
of
the race?
How are you? I thought it was a great race. Unfortunately, in New York, we got the race late live, but it was perfect timing for all the action at the tail end. The one thing I thought was great was Gasly getting a pass at the end. Love to know what the thoughts are on that, especially as they go into the end of the race, what that garage must have felt like.
Oh, what do you think, Bob? I see you smiling.
Well, you know, all's fair in love and war and teammates. And I'm sure it was a satisfying moment for Gasly to make a pass on Ocon. But that's not the only garage, I think, up and down where there might be some interesting comments between both sides of the garage. One of those being Mercedes, where George put a pretty stout power move on team leader Lewis Hamilton. So they might have some things to say to each other. You know, it's the name of the game. You know, you're free to race, boys. And so nobody can expect quarter to be asked or given, especially when points are so precious. If Gasly and Ocon have never been on each other's Christmas card lists anyway. So I don't know that their relationship could get any worse after the Monaco massacre 2 weeks ago. So, you know, I'm sure everybody is feeling pretty good about it, knowing that Ocon is out the door at the end of the season. Not that he's a bad guy. It's just he made some bad choices and he's paying for them now.
Yeah. Hey, Tomas, do you have a favorite driver or team?
You know, newer to F1, following Ricardo, you know, so excited to see him getting into the points this week. A little frustrated that, you know, the fall down the track from where I think he started fifth and ended in ninth or eighth. So a little disappointed there, but, you know, it's exciting. I think as a newer fan to the sport, every week brings something new. And every week, you know, you see something different on the track and a different thing to root for. So excited about the extension of my fandom, but do not have a specific favorite other than maybe Ricardo a little bit.
Well, good. Sounds like you're just a fan of the sport. Well, hey, I appreciate you calling in, Tomas, and we will talk to you soon, and thanks for listening. Guys, we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got another caller holding, and we got plenty more about the Canadian Grand Prix after this.
This is Jay Leno from JayLeno'sGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City. Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
John Massengill, Bob Barcher, and Chris Medlin with you. Chris has dropped off to go get an interview, and we have a caller on the line. We have Tom from Lincoln, Nebraska. Tom, welcome to the show. What did you think of the race today?
Oh, that was great, guys. This is probably one of the first wet races I've actually enjoyed since being a fan, other than seeing George qualify in a Williams some years ago. But other than that, like a race like today is just exactly the example. You can't just look at the winner and be bored with that. There's so much action going on beyond. I'm a recent convert as far as a few years ago, since the Netflix documentary. And I got to tell you, I don't even watch that anymore because the race is so much more exciting. The season is so much more exciting. I watch every race, listen to every podcast and every Speed City afterward. So I just, you know, this race is exactly an example of that.
Awesome. That's great, yeah. Tom. I'm glad to hear you say that about the fact that you've been converted from not just the dramatic drive to survive, but the dramatic racing, especially this season, man. We've had a treat, haven't we?
For sure. Absolutely. And I guess my only question for you guys at the end was Haas, obviously, starting on the wet, they were hard charging through, and that was super exciting. And then, of course, fell back. So my question for you is, do you think that would have happened anyway? Obviously, yes, we're talking about Haas, but do you, in your racecraft, think that something like that would have happened anyway?
What do you think, Bob?
Well, it's you know, it's impossible to say what would have happened. Obviously, the full wet tires were a big advantage in the early wettest moments of the race. Had it continued to rain or increase in rain, I mean, they'd have looked like geniuses, worked their way well up into the points, if not into the race lead. And then, you know, you're playing in that situation. You're playing for somebody to bring out a safety car so you could get a quick free pit stop and then carry on from there in much the same way that that we saw Monaco won 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, as we said at the top of the show, I think Chris and I disagreed about whether full wets were the way to go for Haas.
Me now as well, because you hate it when I cut you off, but I have to because I've got Mike Crack in front of me here from Aston Martin. And this happens all the time, Mike. I cut off people in the studio, but I had two for you because
you owe me so many drinks
today and a really, really good performance from the team. How happy are you with that result, sixth and seventh?
Yeah, I think today we have to be happy. It's the biggest score of the season so far. 14 points for the team. It's a difficult weekend in terms of conditions. The track had been resurfaced. The radar was unsure. It was raining. It wasn't raining. So I think we didn't put a foot wrong in all over the weekend. And I think we can be happy about that.
How tricky was it to handle the weather? Because we're stood here now and it's raining more heavily again. I mean, it was sunny about 10 minutes ago when we came back out. But how do you judge that? Who do you trust when you're trying to work out if it's going to rain or not?
Yeah, that is very difficult because, you know, you know from the radar what is going to happen in the next 10, 15 minutes. But then you have also to think what is going to happen after that, you know, because changing tires and you're changing the wrong side, you have to come back again. So it's always two pit stops that you have to factor in. So we are fortunate that we have very good people in our strategy department that are on the pit wall and also back in the factory that, you know, they make these calls and they make these calls very well. Not only today, but also yesterday in qualifying, which was key yesterday actually to move on. And it was the same today. Everybody thought, oh, why are they all pitting wet tires when it's drying out now? But as soon as the safety car went in, we saw that the shower was coming. So it would have been too risky to go on slicks at that time. So all in all, I think, you know, we can be happy with how it was handled. But also we need to look at, you know, we would not have the chance to fight with the top guys today. They were a little bit too far, and that is something that we really have to work on.
Yeah, you were close to that by early this season, but if I am maybe brutal, you felt further away a few races ago. Have you closed the gap a bit, or is it track characteristics, do you think?
Yeah, I think everything is always track characteristic. You know, you have circuits that are more suitable, circuits that are less suitable. And you see also like on tracks like Imola or recently Monaco, when you are a little bit less competitive, you're on the wrong side of the cutoffs. Yeah, and then when you start for the back, there's no chance for points, and your main competitors are scoring heavily. So the key is always qualifying to have the track position,
And then it's much, much easier to race, as we have seen today here.
Well, I know you've got to get a debrief. So just finally, of your drivers, Lance's home race, and he's performed well all weekend. Q3 for the first time here, I think, for him, and then points. How impressed have you been with kind of the form he's showing? Because I think he was level on qualifying performance with Fernando coming into this weekend.
Yeah, Lance is very calm. He's very self-confident. I think he has made a good step in terms of how he approaches races, how he approaches qualifying. And we should not forget, you know, there was a lot of stress around him this weekend with the home race, a lot of commitment, a lot of PR that you have to do. But he stayed cool all the time when he was in the car, you know, was delivering. And so I think we can be happy. We can be happy of how it went. I think, you know, at the end of the day, where you're rather loud after the couple of first laps, you know, this is also more or less where you're going to finish if you do the same. So I think seventh was a good result today. And yeah, with Fernando in sixth, we rounded up nicely.
Well, well done today. And we'll see you in Barcelona.
Thank you very much. See you later.
Yeah, interesting. I like what he said about Lance Stroll. He's calm and he's relaxed and self-confident. And it's kind of a conundrum for me because I look at all the interviews we get from F1 every week, and most of them are about a minute to a minute and a half. And Lance's average about 15 seconds. And that's with multiple questions in there. Sometimes his answers are one to two words. And I really can't put my finger on him because every time I think I want to count him out and say, oh, he just shouldn't be here. He frustrates me. He just pulls a rabbit out of a hat and has a great performance. He's been a little more consistent, it feels like, in the last couple seasons. But I don't know. I'm happy for Matt Crack and the team because they're not in that top four, but they're well ahead of everybody else of the teams behind them. For example, right now in the constructor standings, Mercedes in fourth has 124, Aston Martin has 58, so half of that. But then RB with 28, half of theirs, and then Haas and everybody else with single digits below them. But Chris, what do you think about Lance Stroll?
It's interesting because being out here in Canada and talking to fans who quite often ask a question, you know, he's not that bad, is he really? Like, what do you think of him? And it's the reputation he's got is what precedes him. It's like, as you say, it's that attitude problem. And I will call it a problem just because he can address that. Because there's times he's very engaging, very, very good, you know, fun to chat to. I've been at events before with him where I've been like, yeah, where's this most days? Just kind of show us a little bit more, give a little bit more, and you'll be surprised at the reaction you'll get. But he does give off that impression that he doesn't want to try. And then that gives off the impression that he doesn't need to try because of the team he's in. And therefore that kind of feeds that overall viewpoint and narrative. But I do think we see good performances from him often enough that say, yeah, he's worthy of a place, but he has to pull it out more regularly. And I think that's why it was worth bringing up this week. And you actually brought it up, didn't you, in our midweek show, John, that it was heading into this race, he out-qualified Alonso three times and the 4-4 head-to-head.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's just dropped one behind. But this is Fernando Alonso. We rate him so highly. And Stroll has been now consistently getting close to him in terms of results. There's still big gaps at different times. Yesterday in Q3 was poor from him, but the rest of the qualifying have been good. Made up for it today, kind of doing what he has to do in that sense. And you know, there's a very good driver in there. It's just whether he can bring it out of himself more consistently. And he's had plenty of chances to do that. So I think it's more, you know, that people have short patience with him. And he needs to stay on it on this current form.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough thing for a young driver, especially who comes from great resources, let's say. An extreme case here with his father, Lawrence Stroll, owning the race team. And so we don't necessarily give him the benefit of the doubt, and he doesn't help himself by being, you know, monosyllabic and so forth. He probably ought to have a chat with himself in the mirror and say, well, what if the rumors are true and my dad sells this team or has to sell it for whatever reason and new management and ownership takes over and then where am I? You know, you got to be the whole package as a young driver. You got to be quick. You have to be incisive in your comments to your engineers. You have to do great PR. And, you know, you have to promote yourself to a large degree. I mean, you can't leave any link in the chain weak. Otherwise, you know, you're just, you know, you're working against yourself. You're lessening your chances of having a long and successful career.
Yeah, and he's in the standings. Alonso's in ninth with 41, then Yuki in 10th with 19, and then Lance Stroll right behind Yuki in 11th with 17 points. But yeah, I mean, there's been times when he had a bad weekend and I was like, I don't even know if he should be in Formula One. Is he just there because his dad? And then he pulls out, you know, he can clearly be fast, I guess is the bottom line there. So,
well, compare him to, say, Daniel Ricciardo. You know, Ricciardo hasn't had results in quite a long time. And then he pops in a performance like this one, qualifying fifth and racing into the points, staying there, scoring points for his team. And everybody loves Ricciardo. You know, that's the difference it can make to show a little bit of your personality, as Chris says, you know, to be at least pleasant, if not, you know, entertaining. You know, not everybody can be a stand-up comic, but, you know, just giving good answers. Alonso is a pretty good example of that. I mean, he didn't always have the best reputation, but more often than not, you're going to get a good, thoughtful response from Alonso. It may have a point to it that maybe we don't understand at the time, but, you know, he knows where his bread is buttered, and old Freddie, as we used to call him, you know, knows how to conduct himself as a public figure, as an athlete.
How was he at Lance's age, though?
Well, ask Ron Dennis.
Yeah, difficult to handle, I guess, wasn't he?
Yeah, I've just actually difficult.
I've got an answer for one of our callers who asked about the thoughts in the Alpine garage when that overtake from Gasly. Now, there's a bit of context for this that the team have circulated. And so firstly, there was mention, wasn't there, of a wastegate problem for Esteban Ocon on the grid. Mm-hmm. And there was one, and they managed to fix it in time ahead of the race start. And then towards the end of the race, Ocon had an energy management problem, which was impacting his performance. So the team says early on lap 68, Esteban was instructed to let Pierre by in order to give Pierre a chance to attack Ricciardo for P8. Because the reason was Esteban was losing performance with the suspected PU issue. The team had confidence that Pierre could attack Ricciardo with DRS because Ricciardo would not have DRS. It says that Esteban then let Pierre by halfway into lap 69 at turn 8. So over a lap after being asked to. By this time, it was too late. Ricciardo escaped too far ahead for Pierre to put pressure on. With Hülkenberg threatening behind, it was too risky to swap back positions. The important thing is that the team managed to secure the important double points. So that sounds like Ocon's going to be upset that they swapped positions, Gasly didn't get any further ahead, and then they didn't swap back. But also sounds like the team are unhappy the team are unhappy that Esteban didn't give up that place quickly enough to Pierre to have a go at Ricciardo. So still some politics going on back there.
Oy vey. Well, you know, as Martin Brundle said at one point during the weekend about about Logan Sargeant, you know, he's basically been told this is not working out. And so, as Brundle said, he's racing for himself now. And maybe Esteban Ocon needs to keep that in mind, knowing that he's going to need a drive next year. There are, depending on how you look at it, nearly half the field is unconfirmed for next year. Now, you could say, well, Lance Stroll is not unconfirmed. It's his dad's team. He's going to be there. But, you know, officially, contracts are up and drivers have not been confirmed for next year. And there's 9 slots there. I'm not sure that Esteban Ocon's managers are advising him appropriately. And for that matter, Carlos Sainz, I mean, geez, the clock is ticking, Carlos. There's a lot to learn yet in this silly season, but yeah, Ocon is definitely racing for himself right now. I think it's fair to say.
Hey, Chris, one of the stories this weekend, you know, you had a nice interview with James Vowles at Williams, team principal Williams, talking about drivers and specifically Carlos Sainz. But it sounds like that he's gotten even more vociferous in his pursuit of Carlos Sainz. It sounds like it's like, and he's kind of doubled down, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He publicly said, I think, to Sky, or certainly on an interview this weekend, that he would confirm that Sainz is his number one target. That's who they're after. But he wouldn't give any details on whether he thought it was going to happen or what Carlos was going to do. But yeah, he said that was his number one target. So they're pushing hard.
Yeah. All right, well, coming up after this, we are going to hear from Toto Wolff, because Chris just caught up with him a few minutes ago, and we have an interview in the can. We'll play that when we come back. Back after these messages.
I'm George Russell, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back. Chris Medlin caught up with Toto Wolff, who had a pretty good weekend, first podium of the year. So let's hear from Toto Wolff.
Inside with Toto Wolff here, yeah, out in the rain. And Toto, you definitely had the pace that showed you could have won that race, but should you have won that race, do you think?
No, I think we're not yet ready to win twin races. Maybe there was a few minutes that we were dreaming about it, that it was possible. But you need to keep the, you know, keep both feet on the ground. We were racing with the front guys, and that's important.
And you did it with both cars. You got them both solid points. How pleased are you with the way the team executed in a chaotic race?
Yeah, I think there was more scope to make mistakes and get it all wrong, and we didn't too much.
And we saw a big step forward from you here. Well, but they've been coming. Is this a sign of what we can expect moving forward, or is it just a bit of a one-off, do you think?
Well, I hope it's a direction that is now correct. The car seemed to be much more likable to drive, and I hope we can pursue this in Barcelona.
Any nerves as well at the end there when George passed Lewis and then you let them fight?
No nerves. I've had much worse.
I believe you as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were all thinking of Nico and Lewis taking each other out.
Exactly.
When he said that.
You betcha.
Hey, Chris Medlin, I hear your mic light up. You want to intro the Zach Brown interview you just picked up?
Yeah, I managed to grab Zach as he was heading out. And he was, it was this crazy weather. It was not raining, then it was hammering it down. So we ran along in the pouring rain and it's just stopped again. So apologies if this is a little bit haphazard. There's also a moment where Lando Norris is walking in the other direction, swarmed by people, so he doesn't actually see Zach. So it might get loud at the very end of this interview.
Casey, you ready? He's, all right, here we go.
Zach, as we try and dodge the weather, you've done well to get a massive umbrella. Another podium, second place. Did the wing get away, though, with that safety car?
I don't think so. I think because there was another safety car later on. You know, we wanted to protect Oscar, so we brought him in first. Guys were flying, did a great job. I think there was a couple different strategies that you could have gone with, and they all kind of netted out in the same place. So had there not been another safety car, maybe. But I think the second safety car would have negated any advantage or disadvantage from that first safety car.
Dare I ask, though, where did that pace come from at the end of that first stint when you guys suddenly flew to the front?
He was flying. I think he likes intermediates that become slicks, because that's what the conditions were. So, I mean, great race. I think that was an awesome race for the fans. I know it was on pit wall. And let's see what the next race brings us.
How confident do you feel, though, now that you seem to be consistent at every track? Other teams are up and down a bit more. You seem to be right there in the fight everywhere we go now.
Yeah, team's done a great job with the car. And it does seem to be quick, no matter what type of circuit we go to. So, what do we have? About another
15. It's 15 races.
So, a lot of racing to go, a lot of different types of tracks, but we should be competitive all of them as long as we keep doing what we're doing.
And what's the target in those 15? Just wins?
Wins, podiums. And there's our boy Lando!
Well done to him and well done to you today.
Yeah, thank you very much. See you later.
Oh, that's actually kind of a cool moment to get to hear him, you know, interact with Lando like that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Lando, I don't think knows where it came from because he didn't look up at the time.
Yeah, good. I think it's important that, you know, that the team bosses have that kind of relationship with their drivers, you know? I don't see Fred Nasr doing that, but on the other hand, I wouldn't have expected Fred Nasr to get himself tossed into Monaco Harbor after his man won there 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's a club and it needs to be Zach, cordial.
Zach does have a new tattoo on his arm.
Yes. Kurt.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLeno'sGarage.com and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
John Massengill, Bob Barsher, and Chris Medlin with you. Chris has dropped off to go get an interview, and we have a caller on the line. We have Tom from Lincoln, Nebraska. Tom, welcome to the show. What did you think of the race today?
Oh, that was great, guys. This is probably one of the first wet races I've actually enjoyed since being a fan, other than seeing George qualify in a Williams some years ago. But other than that, like a race like today is just exactly the example. You can't just look at the winner and be bored with that. There's so much action going on beyond. I'm a recent convert as far as a few years ago, since the Netflix documentary. And I got to tell you, I don't even watch that anymore because the race is so much more exciting. The season is so much more exciting. I watch every race, listen to every podcast and every Speed City afterward. So I just, you know, this race is exactly an example of that.
Awesome. That's great, yeah. Tom. I'm glad to hear you say that about the fact that you've been converted from not just the dramatic drive to survive, but the dramatic racing, especially this season, man. We've had a treat, haven't we?
For sure. Absolutely. And I guess my only question for you guys at the end was Haas, obviously starting on the wet, they were hard charging through and that was super exciting. And then of course fell back. So my question for you is, do you think that would have happened anyway? Obviously, yes, we're talking about Haas, but do you in your racecraft think that something like that would have happened anyway?
What do you think, Bob?
Well, it's impossible to say what would have happened. Obviously, the full wet tires were a big advantage in the early wettest moments of the race. Had it continued to rain or increase in rain, I mean, they'd have looked like geniuses, worked their way well up into the points, if not into the race lead. And then, you know, you're playing in that situation. You're playing for somebody to bring out a safety car so you could get a quick free pit stop and then carry on from there in much the same way that that we saw Monaco won 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, as we said at the top of the show, I think Chris and I disagreed about whether full wets were the way to go for us.
Me now as well, because you hate it when I cut you off, but I have to, because I've got Mike Crack in front of me here from Aston Martin. And this happens all the time, Mike. I cut off people in the studio, but I had two for you. Because
you owe me so many drinks
today, and a really, really good performance from the team. How happy are you with that result, sixth and seventh?
Yeah, I think today we have to be happy. It's the biggest score of the season so far. 14 points for the team. It's a difficult weekend in terms of conditions. The track had been resurfaced. The radar was unsure. It was raining. It wasn't raining. So I think we didn't put a foot wrong in all over the weekend. And I think we can be happy about that.
How tricky was it to handle the weather? Because we're stood here now and it's raining more heavily again. I mean, it was sunny about 10 minutes ago when we came back out. But how do you judge that? Who do you trust when you're trying to work out if it's going to rain or not?
Yeah, that is very difficult because, you know, you know from the radar what is going to happen in the next 10, 15 minutes. But then you have also to think what is going to happen after that, you know, because changing tires and you're changing the wrong side, you have to come back again. So it's always two pit stops that you have to factor in. So we are fortunate that we have very good people in our strategy department that are on the pit wall and also back in the factory that, you know, they make these calls and they make these calls very well. Not only today, but also yesterday in qualifying, which was key yesterday actually to move on. And it was the same today. Everybody thought, oh, why are they all pitting wet tires when it's drying out now? But as soon as the safety car went in, we saw that the shower was coming. So it would have been too risky to go on slicks at that time. So all in all, I think, you know, we can be happy with how it was handled. But also we need to look at, you know, we would not have the chance to fight with the top guys today. They were a little bit too far, and that is something that we really have to work on.
Yeah, you were close to that by early this season, but if I am maybe brutal, you felt further away a few races ago. Have you closed the gap a bit, or is it track characteristics, do you think?
Yeah, I think everything is always track characteristic. You know, you have circuits that are more suitable, circuits that are less suitable. And you see also like on tracks like Imola or recently Monaco, when you are a little bit less competitive, you're on the wrong side of the cutoffs. Yeah, and then when you start further back, there's no chance for points, and your main competitors are scoring heavily. So the key is always qualifying to have the track position, And then it's much, much easier to race, as we have seen today here.
Well, I know you've got to get a debrief. So just finally, of your drivers, Lance's home race, and he's performed well all weekend. Q3 for the first time here, I think, for him, and then points. How impressed have you been with kind of the form he's showing? Because I think he was level on qualifying performance with Fernando coming into this weekend.
Yeah, Lance is very calm. He's very self-confident. I think he has made a good step in terms of how he approaches races, how he approaches qualifying. And we should not forget, you know, there was a lot of stress around him this weekend with the home race, a lot of commitment, a lot of PR that you have to do. But he stayed cool all the time when he was in the car, you know, was delivering. And so I think we can be happy. We can be happy of how it went. I think, you know, at the end of the day, where you're rather loud after the couple of first laps, you know, this is also more or less where you're going to finish if you do the same. So I think seventh was a good result today. And yeah, with Fernando in sixth, we rounded up nicely.
Well done today. And we'll see you in Barcelona.
Thank you very much. See you later.
Yeah, interesting. I like what he said about Lance Stroll. He's calm and he's relaxed and self-confident. And it's kind of a conundrum for me because I look at all the interviews we get from F1 every week, and most of them are about a minute to a minute and a half. And Lance's average about 15 seconds, and that's with multiple questions in there. Sometimes his answers are one to two words, and I really can't put my finger on him because every time I think I want to count him out and say, oh, he just shouldn't be here. He frustrates me. He just pulls a rabbit out of a hat and has a great performance. He's been a little more consistent, it feels like, in the last couple seasons. But I don't know. I'm happy for Matt Crack and the team because they're not in that top four, but they're well ahead of everybody else of the teams behind them. For example, right now in the constructor standings, Mercedes in fourth has 124, Aston Martin has 58, so half of that. But then RB with 28, half of theirs, and then Haas and everybody else with single digits below them. But, Chris, what do you think about Lance Stroll?
It's interesting because being out here in Canada and talking to fans who quite often ask a question, you know, he's not that bad, is he really? Like, what do you think of him? And it's the reputation he's got is what precedes him. It's like, as you say, it's that attitude problem. And I will call it a problem just because he can address that. Because there's times he's very engaging, very, very good, you know, fun to chat to. I've been at events before with him where I've been like, yeah, where's this most days? Just kind of show us a little bit more, give a little bit more, and you'll be surprised at the reaction you'll get. But he does give off that impression that he doesn't want to try. And then that gives off the impression that he doesn't need to try because of the team he's in. And therefore that kind of feeds that overall viewpoint and narrative. But I do think we see good performances from him often enough that say, yeah, he's worthy of a place, but he has to pull it out more regularly. And I think that's why it was worth bringing up this week. And you actually brought it up, didn't you, in our midweek show, John, that it was heading into this race, he out-qualified Alonso three times and the 4-4 head-to-head. Yeah. Obviously, he's just dropped one behind. But this is Fernando Alonso. We rate him so highly. And Stroll has been now consistently getting close to him in terms of results. There's still big gaps at different times. Yesterday in Q3 was poor from him, but the rest of the qualifying have been good. Made up for it today, kind of doing what he has to do in that sense. And yeah, there's a very good driver in there. It's just whether he can bring it out of himself more consistently. And he's had plenty of chances to do that. So I think it's more, you know, that people have short patience with him and he needs to stay on it on this current form.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough thing for a young driver, especially who comes from great resources, let's say. An extreme case here with his father, Lawrence Stroll, owning the race team. And so we don't necessarily give him the benefit of the doubt, and he doesn't help himself by being, you know, monosyllabic and so forth. He probably ought to have a chat with himself in the mirror and say, well, what if the rumors are true and my dad sells this team or has to sell it for whatever reason and new management and ownership takes over and then where am I? You know, you got to be the whole package as a young driver. You got to be quick. You have to be incisive in your comments to your engineers. You have to do great PR and, you know, you have to promote yourself to a large degree. I mean, you can't leave any link in the chain, weak. Otherwise, you know, you're just, you know, you're working against yourself. You're lessening your chances of having a long and successful career.
Yeah, and he's in the standings. Alonso's in ninth with 41, then Yuki in 10th with 19, and then Lance Stroll right behind Yuki in 11th with 17 points. But yeah, I mean, there's been times when he had a bad weekend and I was like, I don't even know if he should be in Formula One. Is he just there because his dad? And then he pulls out, you know, he can clearly be fast, I guess is the bottom line there. So,
well, compare him to, say, Daniel Ricciardo. You know, Ricciardo hasn't had results in quite a long time. And then he pops in a performance like this one, qualifying fifth and racing into the points, staying there, scoring points for his team. And everybody loves Ricciardo. You know, that's the difference it can make to show a little bit of your personality, as Chris says, you know, to be at least pleasant, if not, you know, entertaining. You know, not everybody can be a stand-up comic, but, you know, just giving good answers. Alonso is a pretty good example of that. I mean, he didn't always have the best reputation, but more often than not, you're going to get a good, thoughtful response from Alonso. It may have a point to it that maybe we don't understand at the time, but, you know, he knows where his bread is buttered, and old Freddie, as we used to call him, you know, knows how to conduct himself as a public figure, as an athlete.
How was he at Lance's age, though?
Well, ask Ron Dennis.
Yeah, difficult to handle, I guess, wasn't he? I've got an answer for one of our callers who asked about the thoughts in the Alpine garage when that overtake from Gasly. Now, there's a bit of context for this that the team have circulated. And so firstly, there was mention, wasn't there, of a wastegate problem for Esteban Ocon on the grid. Mm-hmm. And there was one, and they managed to fix it in time ahead of the race start. And then towards the end of the race, Ocon had an energy management problem, which was impacting his performance. So the team says early on lap 68, Esteban was instructed to let Pierre by in order to give Pierre a chance to attack Ricciardo for P8. Because the reason was Esteban was losing performance with the suspected PU issue. The team had confidence that Pierre could attack Ricciardo with DRS because Ricciardo would not have DRS. It says that Esteban then let Pierre by halfway into lap 69 at turn 8. So over a lap after being asked to. By this time, it was too late. Ricciardo escaped too far ahead for Pierre to put pressure on. With Hülkenberg threatening behind, it was too risky to swap back positions. The important thing is that the team managed to secure the important double points. So that sounds like Ocon's going to be upset that they swapped positions, Gasly didn't get any further ahead, and then they didn't swap back. But also sounds like the team are unhappy the team are unhappy that Esteban didn't give up that place quickly enough to Pierre to have a go at Ricciardo. So still some politics going on back there.
Oy vey. Well, you know, as Martin Brundle said at one point during the weekend about about Logan Sargeant, you know, he's basically been told this is not working out. And so, as Brundle said, he's racing for himself now. And maybe Esteban Ocon needs to keep that in mind, knowing that he's going to need a drive next year. There are, depending on how you look at it, nearly half the field is unconfirmed for next year. Now, you could say, well, Lance Stroll is not unconfirmed. It's his dad's team. He's going to be there. But, you know, officially, contracts are up and drivers have not been confirmed for next year, and there's 9 slots there. I'm not sure that Esteban Ocon's managers are advising him appropriately. And for that matter, Carlos Sainz. I mean, geez, the clock is ticking, Carlos. There's a lot to learn yet in this silly season. But, Ocon is definitely racing for himself right now, I think it's fair to say.
Hey, Chris, one of the stories this weekend, you know, you had a nice interview with James Vowles at Williams, team principal Williams, talking about drivers and specifically Carlos Sainz. But it sounds like that he's gotten even more vociferous in his pursuit of Carlos Sainz. It sounds like it's like he's kind of doubled down, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He publicly said, I think, to Sky, or certainly on an interview this weekend, that he would confirm that Sainz is his number one target. That's who they're after. But he wouldn't give any details on whether he thought it was going to happen or what Carlos was going to do. But yeah, he said that was his number one target. So they're pushing hard.
Yeah. All right, well, coming up after this, we are going to hear from Toto Wolff, because Chris just caught up with him a few minutes ago, and we have an interview in the can. We'll play that when we come back. Back after these messages.
I'm George Russell, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back. Chris Medlin caught up with Toto Wolff, who had a pretty good weekend, first podium of the year. So let's hear from Toto Wolff.
Inside with Toto Wolff here, yeah, out in the rain. And Toto, you definitely had the pace that showed you could have won that race, but should you have won that race, do you think?
No, I think we're not yet ready to win twin races. Maybe there was a few minutes that we were dreaming about it, that it was possible. But you need to keep the, you know, keep both feet on the ground. We were racing with the front guys, and that's important.
And you did it with both cars. You got them both solid points. How pleased are you with the way the team executed in a chaotic race?
Yeah, I think there was more scope to make mistakes and get it all wrong, and we didn't too much.
And we saw a big step forward from you here. Well, but they've been coming. Is this a sign of what we can expect moving forward, or is it just a bit of a one-off, do you think?
Well, I hope it's a direction that is now correct. The cars seem to be much more likable to drive, and I hope we can pursue this in Barcelona.
Any nerves as well at the end there when George passed Lewis and then you let them fight?
No nerves. I've had much worse.
I believe you as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were all thinking of Nico and Lewis taking each other out.
Exactly.
When he said that.
You betcha.
Hey, Chris Medlin, I hear your mic light up. You want to intro the Zach Brown interview you just picked up?
Yeah, I managed to grab Zach as he was heading out. And it was this crazy weather. It was not raining, then it was hammering it down. So we ran along in the pouring rain and it's just stopped again. So apologies if this is a little bit haphazard. There's also a moment where Lando Norris is walking in the other direction, swarmed by people, so he doesn't actually see Zach. So it might get loud at the very end of this interview.
Casey, you ready? He's all right, here we go.
Zach, as we try and dodge the weather, you've done well to get a massive umbrella. Another podium, second place. Did the wing get away, though, with that safety car?
I don't think so. I think because there was another safety car later on. You know, we wanted to protect Oscar, so we brought him in first. Guys were flying, did a great job. I think there was a couple different strategies that you could have gone with, and they all kind of netted out in the same place. So had there not been another safety car, maybe. But I think the second safety car would have negated any advantage or disadvantage from that first safety car.
Dare I ask, though, where did that pace come from at the end of that first stint when you guys suddenly flew to the front?
He was flying. I think he likes intermediates that become slicks, because that's what the conditions were. So, I mean, great race. I think that was an awesome race for the fans. I know it was on pit wall. And let's see what the next race brings us.
How confident do you feel, though, now that you seem to be consistent at every track? Other teams are up and down a bit more. You seem to be right there in the fight everywhere we go now.
Yeah, team's done a great job with the car. And it does seem to be quick, no matter what type of circuit we go to. So what do we have? About another
15. It's 15 races.
So a lot of racing to go, a lot of different types of tracks, but we should be competitive all of them as long as we keep doing what we're doing.
And what's the target in those 15? Just wins?
Wins, podiums. And there's our boy Lando!
Well done to him and well done to you today.
Yeah, thank you very much. See you later.
Oh, that's actually kind of a cool moment to get to hear him, you know, interact with Lando like that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Lando, I think knows where it came from because he didn't look up at the time.
Yeah, good. I think it's important that, you know, that team bosses have that kind of relationship with their drivers, you know? I don't see Fred Nasr doing that, but on the other hand, I wouldn't have expected Fred Nasr to get himself tossed into Monaco Harbor after his man won there 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's a club, and it needs to be Zach, cordial.
Zach does have a new tattoo on his arm.
Yes.
Courtesy of Lando Norris. He has the Miami International Autodrome penned on his left, his right bicep, I think, to go with the Monza one he got when Daniel Ricciardo won. So the more races they win, he's going to run out of arms, isn't he?
I was going to say, I remember years ago we were at the German Grand Prix and we had some incredible crowd shots. And one was a guy who took off his shirt and turned around and he had a tattoo of each of Michael Schumacher's 91 race victories on his back. It was a real piece of work, let's call it. But fans can get crazy. So I think as the rate McLaren's going, yeah, no question, Zach's going to run out of space.
Like Chris said, art is in the beauty of the beholder, Bob, so you never know. But going back to Zach, every team principal, every coach of any team has a different style. But Zach's is working right now, and he clearly has a good relationship with his team, with the drivers, and so it's working, and it's fun to watch when it's working that way. And it's fun to watch Vasseur. I'm sure not today, but leading up to today. So hopefully they'll get that turned around. Hey, Chris, we talked about it during one of the breaks. We haven't talked about it on the radio yet. Bob took him three guesses. Excuse me. Took him three guesses to driver of the day. If you haven't seen it, guess. But if you have, you can just tell us who it is.
I haven't seen it. And I'm going to guess. I'm trying to think of way the fan base voting can go. I'm just wondering if it might be Norris. Lewis Hamilton?
I tricked you. It was Norris. Even though it did take Bob. It was Lando Norris, yeah. I could see that for sure, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that stint that we mentioned to Zach, that intermediate to kind of slick weather spell, he was just on a different planet. When that first safety car came out, his lead had gone out to, I think, nearly 14 seconds in just about two or three laps. And I do think they were just going for it at that point. They were looking at the weather. They were thinking, you know what? There's no certainty. So let's just get the lap time out of it. Let's just go as quick as we can and then react from that point rather than kind of hedging our bets and wondering and being in a kind of halfway house. And I think it would have paid off, but for the timing of that safety car. I know Zach says it wouldn't because of the later one. But even with the later one, they would have then been in such a strong position to pit if they wanted to pit for slick tires or whatever it may have been. And I just think he had a quick enough car to win from the front. So if he'd have been in the lead, I think he'd have won. But obviously, once you're not in the lead, look, Verstappen didn't disappear. The gap between him and Lewis Hamilton in fourth across the line was 4.9 seconds. He had enough to get away, but he wasn't in a league of his own by any stretch. So yeah, I think whoever was leading after that final safety car was winning that race.
Well, we have to be excited about this race. I'm just looking at the F1 graphic with Verstappen, Lando Norris, and George Russell on the podium, Red Bull, and McLaren, and Mercedes. And I think this season, had it been George Russell on the top step of the podium today, I think that would have been some real icing on the cake. But I think you said it earlier, Chris, that Red Bull is really strong, and I'm just happy that we have a competitive season right now. And you know what? I'm going to have to give a quick shout out because it's popped up in my Twitter feed like six times now. Jamie Chadwick won pole and then won the race today in Indy Next and for the Andretti team. What an awesome story that's been. You just seen a nice linear curve ever since she went to Indy Next, right? She has done a great job. So
yeah.
Well, guys,
and that is a really fast, intimidating racetrack, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought
she was the first female to take pole on the road course or street course as well in that level.
Yes. I thought you were going to say fast, intimidating driver because the first time I interviewed her, I mean, this was years ago, I thought she was just brilliant. Fantastic. Well, we're out of time, guys. Thanks, Bob Varsha. Thanks, Chris Medlin. Jonathan Green, sorry you were here. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week on Wheel to Wheel.
And you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back. Chris Medlin caught up with Toto Wolff, who had a pretty good weekend. First podium of the year. So let's hear from Toto Wolff.
Inside with Toto Wolff here, yeah, out in the rain. And Toto, you definitely had the pace that showed you could have won that race. But should you have won that race, do you think?
No, I think we're not yet ready to win twin races. Maybe there was a few minutes that we were dreaming about it, that it was possible. But you need to keep the, you know, keep both feet on the ground. We were racing with the front guys, and that's important.
And you did it with both cars. You got them both solid points. How pleased are you with the way the team executed in a chaotic race?
Yeah, I think there was more scope to make mistakes and get it all wrong, and we didn't too much.
And we saw a big step forward from you here. Well, but they've been coming. Is this a sign of what we can expect moving forward, or is it just a bit of a one-off, do you think?
Well, I hope it's a direction that is now correct. The cars seem to be much more likable to drive, and I hope we can pursue this in Barcelona.
Any nerves as well at the end there when George passed Lewis and then you let them fight?
No nerves. I've had much worse.
I believe you as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were all thinking of Nico and Lewis taking each other out.
Exactly.
When he said that.
You betcha.
Hey, Chris Medlin, I hear your mic light up. You want to intro the Zach Brown interview you just picked up?
Yeah, I managed to grab Zach as he was heading out. And he was, it was this crazy weather. It was not raining, then it was hammering it down. So we ran along in the pouring rain and it's just stopped again. So apologies if this is a little bit haphazard. There's also a moment where Lando Norris is walking in the other direction, swarmed by people, so he doesn't actually see Zach. So it might get loud at the very end of this interview.
Casey, you ready? He's, all right, here we go.
Zach, as we try and dodge the weather, you've done well to get a massive umbrella. Another podium, second place. Did the wing get away, though, with that safety car?
I don't think so. I think because there was another safety car later on. You know, we wanted to protect Oscar, so we brought him in first. Guys were flying, did a great job. I think there was a couple different strategies that you could have gone with, and they all kind of netted out in the same place. So had there not been another safety car, maybe. But I think the second safety car would have negated any advantage or disadvantage from that first safety car.
Dare I ask, though, where did that pace come from at the end of that first stint when you guys suddenly flew to the front?
He was flying. I think he likes intermediates that become slicks because that's what the conditions were. So, I mean, great race. I think that was an awesome race for the fans. I know it was on pit wall. And let's see what the next race brings us.
How confident do you feel, though, now that you seem to be consistent at every track? Other teams are up and down a bit more. You seem to be right there in the fight everywhere we go now.
Yeah, team's done a great job with the car. And it does seem to be quick, no matter what type of circuit we go to. So, what do we have? About another
15. It's 15 races.
So, a lot of racing to go, a lot of different types of tracks, but we should be competitive all of them as long as we keep doing what we're doing.
And what's the target in those 15? Just wins?
Wins, podiums. And there's our boy Lando!
Well done to him and well done to you today.
Yeah, thank you very much. See you later.
Oh, that's actually kind of a cool moment to get to hear him, you know, interact with Lando like that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Lando, I don't think knows where it came from because he didn't look up at the time.
Yeah, good. I think it's important that, you know, that the team bosses have that kind of relationship with their drivers, you know? I don't see Fred Nasr doing that, but on the other hand, I wouldn't have expected Fred Nasr to get himself tossed into Monaco Harbor after his man won there 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's a club and it needs to be Zach, cordial.
Zach does have a new tattoo on his arm.
Yes.
Courtesy of Lando Norris. He has the Miami International Autodrome penned on his left, his right bicep, I think, to go with the Monza one he got when Daniel Ricciardo won. So the more races they win, he's going to run out of arms, isn't he?
I was going to say, I remember years ago, we were at the German Grand Prix and we had some incredible crowd shots. And one was a guy who took off his shirt and turned around and he had a tattoo of each of Michael Schumacher's 91 race victories on his back. Oh. It was a real piece of work, let's call it. fans can get crazy. So I think as the rate McLaren's going, no question, Zach's going to run out of space.
Like Chris said, art is in the beauty of the beholder, Bob, so you never know. But going back to Zach, every team principal, every coach of any team has a different style. But Zach's is working right now, and he clearly has a good relationship with his team, with the drivers, and so it's working, and it's fun to watch when it's working that way, and it's fun to watch Vasseur. I'm sure not today, but leading up to today, so hopefully they'll get that turned around. Hey, Chris, we talked about it during one of the breaks. We haven't talked about it on the radio yet. Bob took him three guesses. Excuse me. Took him three guesses to driver of the day. If you haven't seen it, guess. But if you have, you can just tell us who it is.
I haven't seen it. And I'm going to guess. I'm trying to think of way the fan base voting can go. I was wondering if it might be Norris. Lewis Hamilton?
I tricked you. It was Norris. Even though it did take Bob. It was Lando Norris, yeah. I could see that for sure, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that stint that we mentioned to Zach, that intermediate to kind of slick weather spell, he was just on a different planet. When that first safety car came out, his lead had gone out to, I think, nearly 14 seconds in just about two or three laps. And I do think they were just going for it at that point. They were looking at the weather. They were thinking, you know what? There's no certainty. So let's just get the lap time out of it. Let's just go as quick as we can and then react from that point rather than kind of hedging our bets and wondering and being in a kind of halfway house. And I think it would have paid off, but for the timing of that safety car. I know Zach says it wouldn't because of the later one, but even with the later one, they would have then been in such a strong position to pit if they wanted to pit for slick tires or whatever it may have been. And I just think he had a quick enough car to win from the front. So if he'd have been in the lead, I think he'd have won. But obviously, once you're not in the lead, look, Verstappen didn't disappear. The gap between him and Lewis Hamilton in fourth across the line was 4.9 seconds. He had enough to get away, but he wasn't in a league of his own by any stretch. So, I think whoever was leading after that final safety car was winning that race.
Well, we have to be excited about this race. I'm just looking at the F1 graphic with Verstappen, Lando Norris, and George Russell on the podium. Red Bull and McLaren and Mercedes. And I think this season, had it been George Russell on the top step of the podium today, I think that would have been some real icing on the cake. But I think you said it earlier, Chris, that Red Bull is really strong. And I'm just happy that we have a competitive season right now. And you know what? I'm going to have to give a quick shout out because it's popped up in my Twitter feed like six times now. Jamie Chadwick won pole and then won the race today in Indy Next. And for the Andretti team, what an awesome story that's been. You just seen a nice linear curve ever since she went to Indy Next, right? She has done a great job. So, well, guys,
and that is a really fast, intimidating racetrack, too.
Yeah. And I thought
she was the first female to take pole on a road course or street course as well in that level.
Yes. Mm. I thought you were going to say fast, intimidating driver, because the first time I interviewed her, I mean, this was years ago, I thought she was just brilliant. Fantastic. Well, we're out of time, guys. Thanks, Bob Varsha. Thanks, Chris Medlin. Jonathan Green, sorry you were here. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week on Wheel to Wheel.